Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, I hope you all had a great weekend, because we got another pay-per-view coming up this weekend, folks. And on today's episode, I'm going to break down some of the biggest fights coming up on UFC 304, including the return of Patty the Batty. We got a lot to get to in today's show, but I want to begin with the big fight that went down over the weekend. Jake Paul, Mike Perry, fight ends, fun begins. I mean, this is Jake Paul 101. And each time that he keeps doing it, I keep on thinking, okay, he got lucky. Okay, he fell over into it. Oh, okay, this one worked out for Jake again. And it's turning into a situation where I've been in Jake's shoes to a large degree. And to keep that energy up, to keep that motivation up, is not something you have a choice of. And Jake appears to me to still be highly motivated. Now, when I talk about the post-fight, here's what happened. Jake decides it's a good idea to call out Axe Pierre. Now, so many people are going to say, Jake has no shot and Pierre would kill him, and he doesn't really mean that. Well, I mean, at some point, guys, there has to be agreements that we make. I mean, there has to be something that Jake Paul is getting for doing all of this. He's telling us that what he's getting is to shut the mouths of the doubters. And the doubters are all out there, and they're banging their chest. But at some point, to square the deal, we have to give him what he wants. I mean, we have to. If we're going to be fans or we're going to be haters, if you have that side of the coin, if you reserve that right, there is the other side of the coin. And I don't know if we're in a position with Jake Paul anymore to say that he's scared and then fill in the blank. You could be right. Pierre goes out and stomps him. He should have nothing to do with Pierre. He can't compete with Pierre. He doesn't really want... That's not the same conversation as he doesn't mean it. He's scared. He wouldn't sign the contract and step in there. Test himself and put it on the line. It's not the same conversation. And that's where a little bit of the mix-up is coming. Now, Jake Paul criticism Monday morning, of course, is that he fought Mike Perry, who was smaller. But the problem with that is he signed to fight Mike Tyson, who was bigger. And we can go down the road of age. I understand those things. But if I told you right now, you being a real you, putting yourself in somebody, if I told you right now you're going to go play one-on-one against Andre Agassi in tennis, you're not losing any sleep. If I tell you tomorrow you're getting up in front of the world and you're playing 18 holes against Tiger, you don't lose any sleep. If I tell you you're going to go one-on-one with LeBron, you don't lose any sleep. If I tell you you're going to box Mike Tyson, you're up all night. So before we want to dismiss Jake and we want to act like Mike is older, let's pick our argument, okay? Jake Paul sucks because Monday morning is that he fought somebody that he outweighed. Now, the other day it was that he was going to fight somebody older. And the week before that, it was that he was fighting somebody that wasn't a current athlete. The week before that, it was somebody that wasn't in their prime. Now, I am the single biggest influencer. That word is kind of reserved for weirdos. I don't choose to be that word. But I'm not only audited with everybody else out there. I'm publicly audited. My number is right next to my name. Like, I don't need to come out and claim I'm just one of the guys. I'm not one of the guys. I am the guy. In all fairness, I am the guy. I single-handedly made Ben Askren versus Jake Paul. That's a story for Ben to tell if he would ever choose. I made that fight. To speak to the level of influence, I came right here with you guys. We do it together. We're a team. I mean us when I'm saying me. We're the ones that called for Mike Perry to have this fight. Nobody else. Not Mike Perry. We came right here and we had a conversation about guys who could be available. And we did a whole diatribe that Perry was your guy because Dave Feldman had the balls to let him go to... We did a whole thing on this. So, when we all band together and we get the fight, and that was the fight. Oh my goodness, that was the fight. Everything that Perry was coming off of, he's sharp, this is his sport, he's going to throw some gloves on, but this is the fight. Mike Tyson himself, can we at least agree that Mike Tyson has earned the right to a valuable opinion? Can we do that, guys? Because on Thursday of last week, Mike Tyson, who's planning to fight Jake Paul, which is incumbent upon Paul getting a victory over Mike Perry. Mike Tyson came out and said, I'm a little nervous about it. Mike Perry's one tough customer. And I'm just sharing with you, we're changing the rules as we go. And I don't mind it. It's part of sport. And it's part of life. But I do feel as though Paul has made it very clear to us what he's fighting for, which is your respect. More than anything, he came out and made a claim and people thought he was lying. When we want people to know he was sincere. We want people to know he means it. If I say something, I mean it. And he's using this as a way of proving it. So he calls out Piera. And when I talk about Paul just keeps getting, boom, he just keeps, okay, he's taking a swing and he just keeps getting him. He calls out Piera, and when he's in the ring, he either FaceTimes Piera or Piera FaceTimes him. He cuts a promo, okay? And when you have a fight that isn't going to happen, before you think that's not valuable, if you've got a little show somewhere, you're down at the YMCA, you're doing a fundraiser, whatever it is you might do, try to get Alex Piera to show up. Try to video it and try to have the rights to the video to Alex Pierre. See what that's going to cost you. And do not call Ed and George if you don't have $1 million. Okay? Jake Paul captured the video and audio rights to the reigning world champion who doesn't show up to fighting events at main event time for under $1 million. I mean, I'm sharing with you, you might miss what was happening here. I'm not talking about the post fight if it wasn't for this. I have a little show on a small Ma and Pa network, just trying to get up and get things going over there, called ESPN. And we covered this topic today. Not Jake Paul and Perry, that's a separate deal. That's a separate organization. You bring the UFC reigning champion into the conversation, you're opening different things up. Paul couldn't have lined that up. He didn't know what time he was going to be done. He knew what time he was going to be done with Perry. So he goes right from Perry. He goes from complete exhaustion. You have just such a feeling of relief when a fight is over. So he's got exhaustion because of what he did. He's got some pain somewhere, whether he admits it or not. He's got relief. He's got this feeling, but he knows, man, I got to promote. Now's the time. Now's the moment. And see, this is where the most fascinating part of Jake Paul comes in. How and where is that energy coming from? And you won't ever hear that from me. If I was ever tired, you'd never know it. I could be up for 5 days. I would never tell you I was tired. I might tell you I was up for 5 days. I would never say those words. I don't find time. I make time. And I don't like when somebody doesn't. But I must tell you, when I sit back and I watch Jake Paul, there is a part of me that's bewildered with where he's making and finding the time. You cannot be in that level of shape. You cannot go and get those results, no matter what a natural you are. If you're not in the gym, not just once a day, but twice, it can't happen. Human physiology, can't happen. And I look at all the media he did. I got to be part of his fight with Nate Diaz. I was there supporting Nate. They let me come up on the scale as these guys are coming face to face. It was one of these things, but the media never ended. And when we got to the arena that night, he rides in on a tank and the tank's not ready. So he's waiting in the queue. He's got to get in there. He's got to get wrapped. He's got to get warmed up. He's got to get drug tested. He's got to fight Nate Diaz. And he's in a different place trying to ride a tank in so they could get some kind of a shot. When that ends, he's got his own stylist. You guys think his hair looks pretty cool? And you think he looks pretty cool? Well, there's some work that goes with that. And I'm just going, how does he have time? I remember thinking it. I remember seeing him ride the tank and then go into the room with the stylist. I happen to know the stylist because her father came out and I met him in the elevator at the hotel. Had this whole great conversation. But then his brother gets there who flew in from WWE, didn't even have time to change his clothes. At some point, he wraps his hands, warms up, is able to compartmentalize. And by the way, you're just tired. You just need energy. You really need it that night. It's a distraction. He is none of the things. He is none of the Bolton points that people say that you need. Focus, for one. He does not have focus. That I can guarantee you. He's in multiple different places. But when it's time to zero in, he zeroes in. Conor McGregor told Mike Perry, you're fired, from Bare Knuckle. Said, I'm an owner, you're fired. Now, Mike Perry had possibly the greatest response ever. He told Conor McGregor, I'm an owner too, and you can't fire me. Well, like you think all hell's going to break loose. As a matter of fact, it kind of looked like this is a bad move for Conor. This is kicking somebody when they're down. Like, it looked like this was a bad move. And Mike Perry was so carefree about it. It really didn't stick on Conor. It really didn't stick on Perry. It ends up just being one of these great moments. Perry said, yeah, you're an owner. You got that power, but I'm an owner too. You can't fire me. Whole conversation ended. Might have been my favorite part of the night. I'm a little bit stuck on Jake Paul and the weight discrepancy with Mike Perry. Now, my entire life, have been in a sport which turned into an industry, to a business, a job, that is wildly unique, and I don't think many could relate to it. I had a job where they would weigh you in and tell the world what you weighed before they let you go to work. And I don't believe there's any industry where that could happen and they would not be sued instantly and they would lose. It's very unique. Can we agree on that? So Paul looks bigger than Perry. Paul is bigger than Perry. Paul has a longer reach. He has height and he has pounds on Perry. Like this isn't disputable, but it's also not acceptable. Paul has too many pounds on Perry. Now, hold that thought. The first time I saw Brock Lesnar be a baby is when I had to explain to you guys that his wrestling credentials were greatly misleading. And he did not like it. It hurt his feelings. And the example that I'm making is the weight class is 285 pounds, okay? He weighed in at the limit of 285 pounds. But the gentleman that he had in the NCAA Finals, Wes Hand, weighed 220 pounds. Now, it doesn't have to be Wes Hand. I'm just picking a match. I'm picking the big match. You have a guy that's got 65 pounds of iron, right? I mean, he built the right way. They don't put that in a needle that it turned fat, right? He's got it the right way. You're spotting him 65 pounds. Nobody said boo. Now, that's fine, but the match went to double overtime. And there's no part of that that takes Brock's championship away. He was the NCAA champion. He was the undefeated NCAA champion. I'm just sharing with you that when I tell you that it's greatly misleading and you think you've got an NCAA champion going into the ring, so you better watch out for this wrestling and don't get into an over-under with him. And in the open, he's going to have this big blast double. I'm sharing with you, he didn't have a big blast double on a guy that he had 65 pounds on. That's just the truth. And every other match he had, it doesn't have to be the West Ham match. It doesn't have to be that match. When you're that big, look, let's bring Tyson Fury into it. I mean, just to prove the point. Tyson Fury gets in the ring with guys that are 230 and 240. And very, very rarely 250. Very rarely. And Tyson gets in there a little bit south of 300 pounds. Now, them's the rules. There's nothing nefarious to see here. But the reason I bring Brock being a baby for the first time, the reason I bring that into it is that's not an issue for any of you. Not only is it not an issue for any of you, it wasn't an issue for Brock that the first time he got called on it, which was by me, he got upset. It hurt his feelings. But who's right there? Me or him? Who's right there? If I'm explaining somebody's wrestling ability to you and in their most important match, they got 65 pounds. Again, I'm not trying to dwell on that match. Grab any match. Any heavyweight. I mean, just walking around heavyweight. You just don't see guys cutting to the limit. I can assure you that Brock was the biggest guy in the bracket. There was nobody else cutting down the right way. It looked like Brock. Nobody. Nobody. And over most guys, he's going to have about 30 pounds. And I will share with you, I'll just personalize that I didn't reach my goals in wrestling. There wasn't a man in that tournament that I outweighed by 30 pounds that could make it to double overtime with me. Not even remotely close. And they wouldn't pretend that they could. There wasn't any All-Americans in any of those brackets. You could bring whoever you wanted if they had 30 pounds on them. They're not getting a double overtime. And it's just an example that I'm giving you because it's accepted. It's not an example to relive. I'm accepting to tell you that had that fight been at heavyweight, you wouldn't have asked any questions and you wouldn't have brought it up. And maybe they had another heavyweight fight that night. I don't know. Those cards are painfully boring. But if they did have other heavyweight fight, there is most likely on that very card that you're complaining about, there's most likely a weight discrepancy greater than Paul versus Perry. There is on every single card that I've ever seen. I've got to disclose, right? I didn't watch the card. I watched Uriah versus Chavez, which was a robbery. Uriah beat him. And I watched the main event. But I'm sharing for you, anytime that you have a heavyweight fight, you're going to have a discrepancy that is equal to what Paul had on pair. But I'm talking about every single night, and you could even times it by 3 and 4, and it's never a question because that's the weight class. But somehow when it's heavyweight, that's the weight class. But somehow with a similar discrepancy or even less, not with it. Do you see where it gets weird? And I'm not suggesting for you that it doesn't matter. I get that size matters. I fully understand that. Roy Jones is getting ready to fight Ruiz, and his own father said, I'm not going to watch the fight. His own father said, I don't need to see a Volvo versus a Mack truck. My son is better, but it's too much man. He can't deal with Ruiz. And Roy went out there and touched him up. Almost every example that you could give me where this happened, the smaller guy touched him up. You might come up with one. You're not coming up with five, and I'm not being exaggerative. Right off the top of your head, you're not going to give me where two studs met and the bigger guy beat the littler guy. You're not going to give me five examples in your entire life of watching this. It generally doesn't go that way. Speed is so important. Conditioning is so important. The smaller guy's got the speed, at least in theory. The smaller guy's got the conditioning because he's carrying around less weight, at least in theory. And so I want to be with you. I want to bag on Paul, and I want to talk about Perry was too small. I want to do all of those things. It leaves reality when the average heavyweight fight on any given night has 2 and 3 times the weight discrepancy, and we don't bat an eye. July's ending with a bang. UFC 304, with not just one, but two titles on the line. Get your own crown. Jump in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. The welterweight and interim heavyweight title round out the main card, but it's a stacked card of fights. Guys, speaking of stack, if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly, guys. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Do it right now. Use the promo code CHAIL. That's code CHAIL, like the famous gangster, for all new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only at DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms and responsible gaming resources at dkng.co/MMA.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, and how does my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss like the majority of the male population does, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that actually work, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized, chewable oral spray and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. Reaching out for help in this area can feel a bit embarrassing, but Hims has made this process so dignified and simple. All you have to do is answer a few questions online, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. No in-person visits to the doctor or pharmacy are needed. The whole process is 100% online. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get that confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/chail. That's Hims. HIMS.com/chail, like the famous gangster, for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/chail. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
All right, Blahal Muhammad versus the champ, Leon Edwards. Now, right now, my partners at DraftKings have Leon Edwards as the favorite. They've always had him as the favorite. And this line has got closer. This line started at a negative 180, and now it goes down to a 150, and it moves a little bit towards negative 155. And I'm just wondering how we got to that conclusion. I mean, we should know who's going to win this fight. We should, right? Because they've already fought. They've already done it. What do you remember? What do you make from that? Who gained more? Who felt who? Who got better there? Who was winning that fight? And I'm asking you all of these questions because I watched it too, and I'm not totally clear. Like, for what action had happened, I thought that Leon was representing himself very well. I thought that Leon was fast, and I thought he was going. Now, I got to tell you, I haven't gone back and rewatched it. I remember where I was. It was the main event. UFC show at the Apex. Wasn't a pay-per-view. People weren't super excited about it. There was a small, yet powerful, contingency towards Leon, thinking that he was getting the raw end of the deal. And by the way, COVID was very hard, but in the fight world, it was really hard on Leon. He couldn't get out. He was ranked number 3 in the world. Somehow he ends up matched up with this dude named Chimaev that nobody else wanted to fight. He ends up being an absolute team player. He does everything right, even if he's a little frustrated with it. He gets rewarded with a co-main event opposite the second biggest star in the business, Nate Diaz. It all started to end well, but it was because you guys got so loud and you guys got so vocal. And somewhere along the way, he ends up in there with Muhammad, who stops Leon's winning streak. And I just want to know what you remember about that. Because when DraftKings has this as a negative 180 for Leon, and then they move it to 150, and then they move it to 155, I'm wondering why. Didn't you see these guys fight? Don't we know who should win? And by the way, isn't there something to home field advantage? I mean, at least within odds makers, right? They got a formula and they compute the whole thing, but they generally will give a little bit of a nod to the guy that's fighting at home. So if Leon had everything stacked against him, not to mention COVID times and just everything that we were going through back when they fought, he gets over here, he gets to the Apex, he can make that walk. It would seem as though he's better now than he was then. It would seem. I've never seen Leon look better than when he fought Colby Covington. And I might even be able to narrow that down to minutes 20 through 25. I thought he really did look very sharp. And whether you guys like this or not, it was a compromised Colby. But either way, Leon was able to get him down. And we've always figured that was the knock on Leon, right? He's a British fighter. They don't know how to wrestle. Now, that expression comes from the fact that the Olympic Games, which is held every 4 years, Britain enters and contests many, many sports. They are really behind the Olympics. Not quite to our level, but they're really behind the Olympics, and they don't enter a wrestling team. So that is where that idea comes from. Here in America, we do something called folk style. You can wrestle in your high school, and you can get a scholarship to all sorts of a variety of colleges. Junior college, Division III, NAIA, Division II, Division I, right? So on and so forth. And it isn't like that in England. So therefore, we believe that these British guys can't wrestle. It's just a knock on them. And Leon shows this. Colby has another weapon that very few guys have, which is Colby will get you so tired that you quit. And Leon was able to hold up, right? I mean, I'm just being very fair that Leon, who Colby also made emotional, was able to slow down, be the last fighter to leave the dressing room that night, and he was able to retain his belt. So, if you guys agree with me, if you'll drink to that, why does DraftKings have this so close? What is it that they're seeing with Bilal Muhammad? And see, that's where the whole question comes. Now, I do feel that one of Bilal's greatest representations of himself was against Brady. And I believe that for a variety of reasons, and it wasn't just the hands that he let go, and it wasn't just the grappling that he stopped. It was what he was up against. This was a main event guy. This is a guy that many believe should be contesting for the world championship. And his card placement was lower. He was up against it, and he knew it. He knew it. It wasn't a good spot. He was being tested. Everybody goes through it. At some point in every champion's journey, there's one you can look back and you can point to and go, as much as he's the fair-haired child today, he wasn't. Right? And it's one of those situations. And this was Bilal. So what is it that he gained that you guys are so impressed with? I'm asking you. I'm being very sincere. Why is it that DraftKings has this thing so close if we've already seen these guys fight and if it was favoring Leon? And there is a component. There is. There's the Khabib component. Like, Bilal Muhammad has done everything right, but he's also mixed up his training to a very large degree. And anytime there's a rematch, you're going to be asked a question, and you must answer it. Now, your answer can vary, but you must have an answer. You must have something that you sincerely believe in. What's going to be different this time? And so many times a fighter will not have an answer. But it's a big sign to you. You got to know, okay, this is about a paycheck, or this is a number that came up, or this isn't the one he was gunning for. This isn't the one he was planning for. He wasn't digging deep. If he doesn't have a very clear answer. And I'm not sharing for you that Bilal went and found Khabib and sought different training, took his trip to Dagestan just for Leon. That was Bilal in general looking to improve his skills. And you guys that sway the line are informing DraftKings that he did just that. And it's a very interesting concept because I don't feel that you've seen enough, quite frankly. I don't feel that you've seen Muhammad fight recent enough to decide that he's better and that his training with Khabib worked. It's something that one thing that will happen in our industry is it will all start at the grassroots, right? Every idea that ever makes it to the poster and the marquee started on the underground. It doesn't change. Before it made it to the underground, guys in the gym getting ready to work out, they're over in the corner, and they're putting their gloves on, and they're putting their and they're pulling their shit pants on, are having the conversation. That's where it all begins, and one of them has an account under an alias and posts that idea to the underground. And there appears to be a real nucleus and a real support that believes it's Bilal Muhammad's time. There's no other way to explain the line at DraftKings, not to mention the moving from negative 180 down to 150 and sometimes up to 155. I mean, I'm bringing it to you. There's no other way to do that. And I don't contest it because I don't have the evidence. But I do have evidence that Leon is fighting at an all-time best, that he's fought more recently, that in theory he should be more sharp, that he's fighting at home, that he doesn't have the same pressures that he had the first time. But you guys aren't agreeing with me, and it doesn't matter if he's the favorite or not. the lines moved. And in many ways, even while being an underdog, if you study those lines, in many ways, they're favoring Wahal Muhammad. Minus 118 to minus 102. What am I talking about, guys? I'm talking about the hottest line in town. Go over to DraftKings right now. Bobby Green is officially the favorite over Patty the Batty. Now, let's get those numbers out of the way. Let's call that even. That is a very compelling storyline. I mean, in theory, Bobby Green, not just in theory, on paper, in every single possible belief, Bobby Green is the test for Patty the Batty. That's the one. That's the hammer. He's the favorite, right? I mean, in all fairness, even if it's negative 118 to negative 102, DraftKings has Bobby Green as a favorite. That hasn't happened before, but to Patty, can we agree that that is Patty's hardest draw? Now, you then get armed with the information that this is Patty's last fight on his contract. Whether that's accurate information or not, I'm not completely convinced this, but Patty said it is. He believes it is. And I'm just sharing for you, if you find yourself in that situation, that's when you're going to find yourself with your hardest draw. So I'm just adding to the theory that King Green is the toughest match so far for Patty the Batty. And Patty the Batty's been out, guys. You're forgetting about that. Patty the Batty's only had one fight in a year and a half, a year and 5 months. And he looked very good, but Patty is in a very unique situation, and it's not one that I think anybody expected him to be in. I watched Patty cut a promo today on the Bobby Green fight, and Bobby King Green has legally changed his name to King Green. His legal name, you understand, credit cards, driver's license, no longer says Bobby, says King Green. Patty was so upset about this, he could not contain himself. He was talking about the fight that they're going to have, and he was, you were named this at birth. It is not your choice. Your mother named you Bobby. You don't get to be. It was just funny. It wasn't meant to be. It was just funny. And the reason, when I break down a Patty fight, I don't find myself getting into the X's and O's yet, because Patty is such a character. But he's such a complicated character. And I don't believe that was ever meant to be anyone's intent. He was a British guy that said some... He was fun. He was fun to... I don't know what it is. He wasn't a trash talker, maybe, but he was fun. He was funny. It was silly. It was fun. What would you call it? If you had to use one word, was it interesting? What was it? So, okay, he's a British fighter that does whatever that word is, okay? And he's got a funny haircut. Now, he's going to be a regional guy. He wasn't as young as so many of you think. I'm rewinding to the start of Patty's UFC career. He wasn't as young as some of you guys think. He was busting into the UFC at 27 years old. So now you fast forward to the first time he comes into the UFC at 27 years old. He gets some good wins. They were pretty tight. They were pretty close. One of them highly controversial, right, with Gordon. But then you flip it and he's now an underdog to King Green on what he says is the last fight of his contract. And he's got to do it at home. And he is not in a co-main or a main event spot, but he's the one selling the tickets. And I don't say that to take away from anybody else. I've watched him fight at Manchester with the same main event. Not for nothing. I watched him fight in Manchester where Tom Aspinall was the same main event. As a matter of fact, it was Tom versus Curtis Blaydes. It was literally the same main event. And Patty was 3 from the top, and make no mistake, and that building was very clear at that time who they paid to see. Dave Portnoy, the president of Barstool Sport, flew out to it to support Patty, and he sat side by side with Dana White. Drake placed a parlay. Molly and Patty end up being the ones coming in. Drake's selling Rolexes. I mean, I'm just sharing for you, like, just to remind you of that time. And it was a lot closer fight than anybody thought that it would be. And you had a character. You had a regional character. A non-main eventer, whether the people were coming to see him or not, whether Dave Poynter saw something special or not, you got a regional guy. He can't go beyond that. He's not meant to go beyond that. He's got an interesting haircut, and he says interesting things. Well, when we start watching Patty guys, I didn't see anything that would disqualify him from having the potential to be a world champion. I mean, I didn't see any give up in him. I didn't see fatigue coming to him. He'd have one of these fights, had to come from behind to win, did just that, and then he reveals to us what he's dealing with, and it was the death of a friend? Somebody very close to him. And he was harboring that angst, and he was cutting his weight, and he was making that walk, and he was going out in front of his hometown anyway. It might sound like a small deal to you, and Patty was not looking to shine his own wheels. He was revealing something, and he was trying to pay homage to the person they lost. And the character of Patty the Batty is not, at this point in the movie, where we thought it would be. He is not the regional fighter that says interesting things with a strange haircut. He's not. And one thing about Patty that nobody thought was going to happen, and I don't believe was intended, I believe this is the plot twist, is the boys, meaning the locker room, like him. And he likes the boys. Now, that is an expression for everybody behind the scenes. The personnel, all the different weight classes, all the different fighters. Not only does he like them, they like him. And if you ever met Patty, you know what I mean. If you ever met him, you would know what I mean. And when I say that, I don't know that there's a way to hurt him. The sweetest spot of your career, if you can get to it, and it's very rare. Daniel Cormier had to explain this to me in 2013. But the sweetest spot you can ever be in, it's not the main event, it's not the pay-per-view guy, it's not even the champion. The absolute pinnacle in our industry is when the result of your match doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing today, and wherever your placement is at the top of the bill, it doesn't matter what happened in your last one. Think of Conor McGregor, for example. He's been living in that spot for a meaningful period of time. Sports biggest star, outcome of his last match, doesn't matter. And that's where I don't believe anybody thought Patty was going to go. And I think it's the miss that DraftKings has right now. I do believe that King Green can beat him. I do believe that Patty can beat King Green. I think one thing that is taken for granted with Patty is that pace. And I believe when the articles are written about Patty, they get it wrong because of the weight cut. Hear me out. One of the fiercest competitors that I ever had to deal with in all my time went on to be my teammate, a gentleman named Doug Lee. And Doug Lee did not do what you have to do to be an All-American. He did not wrestle all year. He didn't eat, sleep, and breathe wrestling. He wasn't at home watching tapes of Satyev and Smith and Monday wrestle. Not for 12 months. He took all that you do, and he brought it into four. Took that same passion, that same intensity. He ran just as many sprints. He did just as many pull-ups. But instead of doing it in 12 months, he did it in four. And he had to weigh a certain number. The weight, the scale was a byproduct of him being in the shape that he needed to be in. Period. It wasn't about making the lineup. It wasn't about winning all the tournaments. He had to weigh that number. And when he did, that meant that he'd put in enough running. That meant that he'd had enough practices. That meant that 12 months that he was condensing down, he was far enough along. And that's one thing with Patty. I've seen everybody, including partners of DraftKings, that will tell the story that Patty is going to fatigue. And the reason he's going to fatigue is because of the weight that he had to cut the day before. But it's the opposite. No matter how much you don't like Patty's diet or how much he's doing a yo-yo, we can have a complete conversation on that. But that weigh-in of 155 pounds is a representation of the suffering. It is a representation of the discipline. If Patty was going to fight Bobby Green, like I tell you right now, they go change the contracts and they weigh in at 165. You can bet everything on King Green. Patty the Batty, he's got to hit that scale right. But that number doesn't mean he's going to be fatigued and he's going to be drained and what's the IV process. It's not. It's different with him, and it is with a few athletes. I've grown up with them with the example that I was telling you about with Doug Lee, but it's the same thing. That 155 and the yo-yo and the crunch down does not fatigue Patty. What he has to do to get there is what gets him in shape. And that's the one thing that I think that DraftKings and everybody else is missing. And I know that this line is close. And I know that King Green can beat him. But when they talk about how, he's either going to have to outstrike him or outgrapple him. Can we agree on that? Well, there is one intangible. There's one intangible that you can't express. You can't even show somebody it. You couldn't even rewind the tape and tell the world, this is what's happening. They can't see it. And that is pace. And Patty the Batty, when he gets down to 155 pounds plus one, is representative of being in very good shape, having a very full gas tank, and being able to push a pace. The question comes down to, can he outwork King Green? And the toe. So the headline comes out, Conor McGregor's injury is behind him. I mean, it was Conor himself come out and said the foot is fully healed. So when you're done, right, as soon as the wheel spins and you see what color the ball lands on, like the roulette bet becomes very obvious. And we don't get them all right, but we could if we could place the wager after the ball landed. So what would you do if you're McGregor and you've gotten so many of them right, man? You're hitting them out of the park. You're hitting them out of the park. If you could go back, if you had the benefit of hindsight, do you stick with the toe injury? And I thought the toe injury was a work from Jump Street. I thought that Conor was in rehab. And I came out and told you guys, this toe injury is garbage. He's in rehab. So, it ain't like that. Apparently, they're rehabbing the toe. They're rehabbing the injury to the toe. They are not rehabbing any kind of a substance. Now, I wasn't looking for clicks. I was trying to cover the guy. I was trying to give him a little bit of shielding, right? I mean, if you go into rehab, that's a noble thing. And if you go into rehab for booze and you're selling booze and you're willing to take that head on, you're willing to take your own product head on, that's a noble thing. What would be less than noble in our industry is to pull out of an ass-whipping contest because you have a discolored pinky toe, which may or may not be broken. But that was the story that they were very set on going with. And I'm just wondering, in hindsight, like, what difference does it make if Chael says you're in rehab? Whether you are or aren't. Like, if Chael's trying to cover you, and maybe that's not a thing in Ireland. Maybe they look down on that. Maybe that's like, rehab's for quitters, right? You hear people say, but maybe that's a thing in Ireland. It's not in North America. North America, you get credit for. You beat Simone Biles, go to the Olympic Games, take somebody's spot, quit because you don't have your Ritalin. And they'll pat you on the back. They don't mean it, but they'll do it publicly. So maybe I just got this one wrong. But I'm wondering, did he get it wrong? Now, when I talk about a discolored pinky toe, nobody owes us an explanation as to where they are. But there is no scenario in politics where the cover-up is not worse than the crime. So, when Chael says you're in rehab, if you want to play game, you're rehabbing your foot. Or just ignore Chael completely. The issue becomes when you post a picture of a toe online, but you don't post that you're attached to the toe, right? There's a close-up picture of a discolored toe, which I think we're led to mean is broken. That would hurt like a son of a gun. You guys have stubbed your toe. You've stubbed your toe. Oh, I stubbed my toe. Right. Okay, well, it's a little bit different if it's your big toe or your pinky toe. And I don't just mean from the pain. I mean the relevance. Those two toes help with stability. Those two toes are very important toes. They really are. In walking around and being mobile. So Connor comes out and he posts a picture of a toe that we don't know if it's his. It's not like a zoomed out shot. It's just the picture of a toe. And the other issue, when I talk about the cover-up is worse than the crime, my explanation of rehab, which is a treatment facility, it's somewhere that you would go, and it was very loose. I'm trying to cover the guy. I also believe that's where he's at. So I'm giving you the news, and I'm looking out for him. His version of a discolored pinky toe that may or may not be broken, wouldn't explain the absence of a press conference. And that's where you get jammed up. Where was it? Where could have you been that precluded you from coming to a press conference? You don't have to drive yourself. You ain't even got to hitchhike. You ain't got to take the bus. The UFC sends a chauffeured vehicle. I mean, I'm really sharing for you. Like, there's nothing that would stop you. It wouldn't matter what you're doing. Oh, man, I had an IV. I'd jump in the car. Like, you're not even driving. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to, like, get creative as to what is it that you could be doing that would stop you from getting a car. I was on a phone call. Now I'm taking your phone with you. I was in a conversation with my mom. Put her in the car with you. It's got six extra seats. I mean, it's one of these things where you start running out of options. And so when you go with a discolored pinky toe that may or may not belong to you and may or may not be broken, I'm just wondering, in hindsight, do you look back on that and think, a little bit of a miss? Because we're not owed an explanation. And in Realisticville, and you got to understand, I wasn't looking to put him down, but it's very relevant. I was looking to put him down if I was being my usual jerk. If I said, we're all done here. But I wasn't. But the one thing that does hurt my guess of connecting the dots of here he is in the club, here he is missing things, and if he's not detained by police, where could he be, right? It's just one of these things. I'm just trying to connect the dots, and I'm quick, and it's live. It'd be pretty hard to keep that a secret. No matter how good of a facility you were at, right? It's just like when a guy gets arrested, and 100% of the time, if he's a famous guy, the body cam of the cop gets out. Every time, not part of the time, 100% of the time, TMZ obtains the body cam. It's just one of those things, like no matter how good the rehab facility, no matter how much you wanted to pay, it would be hard to keep that a secret. Now, I don't know if that's a piece of evidence. It is definitely one of the facts of the case, but how strong is that evidence? And if you were to juxtapose that, could you keep your stay in rehab quiet? Are you more likely to be able to keep that quiet? Or breaking your pinky toe at practice? You guys have stubbed your toe. You stubbed it in your house. Did you just walk around about your business and then later that night you dealt with it? Or did you fall over and you're screaming in pain? You're going, my toe, my toe, my toe. Could you have that kind of an injury to an elite athlete in today's world of social media and it doesn't escape the gym? Or could you find a rehab facility that is strong enough and confidential enough that to this day, it stayed a mystery? And I just wonder, in hindsight, if you could do it again, would you go with the damaged pinky toe? everybody. That's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And I got to give a shout out to Pete's cousin, because he left me a review on Apple Podcasts, and it reads, Chael is the man. I'd love to show you a real Philly cheesesteak. Now, I got to tell you, Pete's cousin, is that a fake offer? Do you really mean that? Because I'm going to be in the East Coast this weekend, and I'll go. But it's got to be a place that has mayonnaise. Don't tell me it's a sandwich and that there's no mayonnaise in the entire kitchen. Okay, you know what? On second thought, maybe we should put a pin in this, Pete's cousin, but I do appreciate the review, and I'd appreciate some from you guys, because I love going online and reading about myself, particularly when it's positive. Enjoy the week! Make sure you're back on Friday. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.